It usually takes about 3 to 5 days for the blood to stop flowing. And during this time, she wears a kind of cloth pad to absorb this blood. Now, this process is called menstruation. Now, there are some very important attitudes that I want you to understand through this discussion. First, menstruation is not something for girls to dread and fear. Since the subject of blood causes us to shudder, you know, it's been a symbol of Halloween and all these things, some girls get all uptight over this process happening to them. They start worrying about it, and they wonder what it's going to be like, and they don't want it to happen, and everything like that. But that's not the way it is at all. In fact, it is part of the most fantastic and exciting processes and events that can ever happen, the process of producing a new human being with all of the learning potential and the creative power that God has given to mankind. And the beauty of it is that it's all done automatically by a woman's body, just as though the master designer, God himself, were standing there telling her what to do next. At the right time, new chemicals are added and new materials that are needed by the child's body. And it grows and begins to move inside her body. And there's a special fluid called the amniotic fluid, which is around the baby to protect it from bumps and bruises. It's just a beautiful process. And then at just the proper time, the mother's body expels the child, pushes it out through the birth canal or the vagina, and a new child is on his way through life. And you see, menstruation is just a part of that total process. It means you're growing up, that you're not a child anymore. And it's your body's way of telling you that something very exciting is happening inside. Now, listen to me, girls. Don't worry about this aspect of your health. You will not bleed to death, I promise you. It's as natural as eating or sleeping or any other body process. And so many young girls worry and fret and stew over various aspects of menstruation. And it's just unnecessary. If you feel you are abnormal in some way, if you're worried about some aspect of it, if you think that maybe you're different or maybe something has gone wrong or there's some pain associated with it or you have any question at all, then muster up your courage to talk to your mother or your doctor or somebody that you have confidence in. And in about 98 cases out of 100, the fears will prove to be unfounded. And you'll find that you're completely normal, and the trouble was only in your lack of understanding of the process. Now, obviously, other things will begin to happen to your body about the same time. You will also have a growth spurt ending just prior to your first menstruation. Incidentally, the average age of menstruation in American girls is about 12 years of age. Now, and even though that's the average, it can be as early as 9 or 10 or as late as 16 or 17. It varies tremendously, and it doesn't mean anything is wrong with you if it happens to be a little bit later. But most of you can expect it to arrive at about 12 years of age. Now, your body during this time will become more rounded and curvy, like your mother's. Your breasts will enlarge themselves, and incidentally, they will become very sore every now and then. This is true for boys and girls. It doesn't mean that you have cancer or some other disease. It just means that your breasts are changing like everything else. Hair will also grow under your arms and on your legs and in the pubic region, as it is with boys. These are the most obvious physical changes to be taking place. And when you see them happening, you can kiss goodbye to childhood. It's full speed ahead toward adulthood. Now, there's another thing that I must discuss with you, as I hinted before. And I'd like you to listen very carefully to what you're about to hear, because you really need to know this. Do you remember on the first tape that I talked to you about the bridge that was out on the road to adulthood, which could cause you to fall into this big canyon called inferiority. Well, that same bumpy road also goes over another dark canyon, and I'm going to have to tell you that the bridge is a little shaky there, too. Now, this time I'm talking about the feelings that often occur when you don't grow up as quickly as you expect to, or as quickly as your friends do. Now, hear me. The things that I've been describing may occur as early as 10 or 11 years of age, or as late as 17 or 18, but it's usually somewhere in between. But each boy and each girl has his or her own timetable, and this causes a lot of unnecessary worry among those who are either ahead or behind their friends, you see. It really doesn't mean much, but it's the source of a lot of worry and a lot of concern. Now, let's suppose that you are a 13-year-old girl, and your body has not begun to change yet. You still look like a little girl, and none of the adult features have begun to show up. You look around at the other girls, and some of those in your class already look like women. You start to worry a little bit about what's gone wrong inside. Is there something wrong with me? Why hasn't it happened to me? Then you turn 14 and still nothing is happening. Everything is just sitting there yawning at you. And you're really concerned about it, and you begin to sweat it. You lay awake at night wondering if you're still going to look like a child when you're 50 years old. And your girlfriends are talking to each other about menstruation, and you can't share in the conversation. You know nothing about it. You don't understand. You can't explain. You can't share in it. And you feel different and odd, and you worry about it. And it all becomes a very scary thing with you. Or let's suppose you're a 15-year-old boy who has the same problem. You are near as strong as your friends. And since you haven't had your growth spurt, you're one of the shortest boys in your class. In fact, you're even shorter than most of the girls, and that's very painful. And the other boys are starting to shave, but you don't even have peach fuzz on your face yet. You pick up the telephone to talk to the operator, and your voice is so high that she thinks you're a girl, and she says, "Yes, ma'am," to you, which is the worst insult that's ever been paid to you. But the most painful thing of all is that the other guys have noticed that you're still a little boy, too, and they've begun to tease you. And when you're in gym class, out in the locker room, they call you nicknames and make fun of the fact that you haven't grown up yet. Now, what are you going to do if this happens to you in the next few years? I'm not saying it will, but it will happen to many people who are listening to this tape, because your pituitary gland has its own way of doing things, and it could be early or it could be late. Are you going to crack up if you're a little bit late? Will you grind your teeth and bite your nails and chew your tongue? I hope you won't, because it's all so unnecessary. Incidentally, have you heard about the new wristwatch that's made just for anxious people like this? Every hour it rings its hands for you. Maybe you're going to need that kind of hand-wringing if you happen to be a little bit late growing up, but you really shouldn't. Let me make a suggestion or two for those of you who will grow up a little bit later. The main thing to remember is that there's nothing wrong with you. That's the most important thing I want to underline. It's just as healthy to grow up at one time as another, and there is no reason to fear that it will never happen. That's the real rub. That's what causes so much worry, is the youngster who's late thinks it is never going to happen. You just hold steady for a year or two, and then the fireworks will all begin to pop for you just like everybody else. And I can promise you that this is going to be true. You'll hardly be able to even remember it a few years later. Of course, it's never very much fun to be kidded and laughed at by your friends, but if you know it's only for a short time, maybe you can stand it. And most importantly, don't you be guilty of making another person feel bad about himself if you happen to grow up before he does. Okay, for the final few moments on this tape now, I must talk to you about the sexual changes that are about to occur within your bodies. Now, this is a most important topic because it's going to influence every part of your lives from now on. And I think we should give quite a bit of attention to this topic. First, as your body starts to change in the ways that I've been describing, you will also note gradually that you're beginning to be more interested in people of the opposite sex. If you're a girl, you'll get interested in boys. And if you're a boy, you'll begin to think about girls and think they look pretty good to you. Now, how do I know this will happen? How can I predict it so accurately? The reason is because sex will soon become what's called an appetite within you. If you missed your breakfast this morning, we'll say, I don't have to know you very well to say that you're going to be hungry by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Your body will soon ask for food because it's just made that way. There are chemicals in your body that will make you feel hungry when you haven't eaten. Well, beginning between 12 and 15 years of age in most young people, some new chemicals in your body will begin to develop a brand new appetite. This time it will not be a craving for food, but it will involve this matter called sex, or the male and female aspects of your nature. And every year it'll be more and more a part of you. As you get a little older, about 16 or 17, you'll want to spend more and more of your time with someone of the opposite sex, and eventually this desire will probably lead you to marriage down the road someplace. Incidentally, one of the biggest mistakes you can make with your life is to get married too soon. That can be tragic, folks, and I really want to stress that for you. For two people to get married before they're ready for it is a disaster, and it happens all too frequently. I plan to say more about that a little bit later, but I would strongly advise you not to get married until at least 20 years of age. And this has importance for the rest of your life. One half of all teenage marriages blow up within 5 years, and we don't want yours to be one of them. Now let me tell you just a little bit about the feeling that sex will bring to you in the next few years. Boys, particularly, will be very interested in the bodies of girls during this time. The way they're built, their curves and their softness and their pretty hair and their eyes, and even their feminine feet will have a great deal of appeal to boys during this time. If you're a boy, it's very likely that you will think often about these fascinating creatures called girls whom you used to hate so much. Girls, on the other hand, will not be quite as excited over the shape and the look of a boy's body as such, but they will be more fascinated by the boy himself, the way he talks, the way he walks, the way he thinks. If you're a girl, you will probably get a crush on one boy after another. A crush is where you begin to think that one particular person is absolutely fantastic, and you kind of fantasize or think in your mind about the possibility of being married to that person, and all these things run through your head a good part of the day. Okay, now let's talk very plainly about the subject of sexual intercourse at this time. But I'd like you to remember what I told you at the start of this tape. I'm going to be treating you like grown-ups in the next few moments. And I'd like you to take it like an adult. This may be the most grown-up conversation you've ever had in your life, and I hope you won't get embarrassed and snicker and giggle, because that's the way little kids act. Besides that, you probably already know a lot about this topic anyway. Even though the terms that you've heard from other kids and people in the street will be different, because they use slang words, and of course there are proper words for the same things. But sexual intercourse is the name that's given to the act that takes place when a man and a woman remove all of their clothing usually done in bed, and the man's penis, or his sex organ, becomes very hard and straight, and he puts it into the vagina of a woman. You see, he actually lays between her legs, and then they move around in and out until they both have a kind of a tingly feeling, which lasts for a minute or two. It's a very satisfying experience, and husbands and wives do this regularly. They don't do it just to have babies, although that's the way babies are started when the conditions are right. But they do it because they enjoy doing it, and in this way they satisfy each other. Now, they may have this kind of sexual intercourse two or three times a week, or maybe only once a month. Each couple is very different. But this is a fun part of marriage and something that makes a husband and a wife very special to each other. This is something that they save just for each other and that they participate in with no one else. Now, this feeling of sex is something that God created within you. I really want to make this point strongly felt by you. It is not dirty and it's not evil. Nothing that God ever created can be dirty. It's a wonderful thing that He built into us. It was His idea, not our idea. This is not the creation of man. God put this part of our nature into us. He created those chemicals that I was talking about that makes the opposite sex appeal to us. So he did this so we would want to have a family of our own, you see. Without this desire, there would be no marriage and no children and no love between a man and a woman. So it's not a dirty thing at all. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing, no matter what you have heard. But I must also tell you that God intends for us to control that sexual desire, that desire for intercourse. And He has stated repeatedly through the Bible that we are to save our bodies for the person we will eventually marry. And it is wrong to satisfy the appetite for sex with a boy or girl before you get married. There is just no other way to interpret the biblical message other than that. Other people are going to tell you differently in the days that lie ahead. And you're going to hear about Jack and Susie or Paul and Janie, and they're going to tell you about how they explored each other's bodies, and they'll tell you how neat it is, and all that kind of information will come to you. Or let me take it one step further. It is very likely that you will have a chance to do the same thing before you reach 20 years of age. Sooner or later, that opportunity will come to you. You'll be with a person of the opposite sex who will let you know, one way or the other, that he or she will permit you to have sexual intercourse with them. And you're going to have to decide between now and then what you will do about that moment when it comes, because you won't have time to think when it happens. And I think you should decide right now to save your body for the one whom you will someday marry, the one who will be your marriage partner, because I can tell you that you'll wish that you had if you don't control this desire. You know, God has given us this commandment that we not have intercourse before marriage, not to keep us from having fun and pleasure. No, it's not God's desire to take the fun out of life. It's actually His love that caused Him to forbid it, because there are so many harmful things that happen when you refuse to obey Him. You have probably heard about venereal disease that you catch from having intercourse with someone who has caught it from another carrier. And syphilis and gonorrhea and many other diseases are everywhere today. There's an epidemic of these diseases. And they have an awful effect on the body if they're untreated. Also, you always run the risk of bringing a little baby into the world when you have intercourse with someone who's not your wife or your husband. And there you are in that situation with the responsibility for a human being on your hands, a little life with all of its needs for love and control and the stability of a home, but you have no way to take care of it. And that's tragic. But just as serious are the changes that take place within you when you have intercourse freely. First, and most important, your relationship with God dies. He has called it a sin, and you just can't be friends with God and sin. It's as simple as that. And you can't hide anything from Him, as you know, because He sees everything. Also, something begins to change inside of you when you do this. You lose the innocence of youth and sometimes become hard and cold as a person. It's also liable to affect your later marriage because that special thing that you share with just one person is not so special because everybody's had a sample of it. There are just many, many reasons why God has told us to control this sexual desire. So what I'm saying is that God has commanded us not to have sex before marriage in order to spare us these and many other consequences of this sin. Now, let me talk to you just a little bit more about a related subject called masturbation. Masturbation, this is something that you may have heard of with your other friends. If not, you will before too long. Masturbation is the act of rubbing your own sex organs when you're all alone in order to get that same feeling that you would have if you were participating in intercourse. Now, I can tell you that most boys do this at some time or another during adolescence, and many girls do the same thing. There are all sorts of rumors that go around about this act, scary stories about what happens to those who do it. Some people say that it'll make you go crazy, and some say it'll keep you from being able to have a child later on, and some say it'll make you weak and sickly. And you may hear nearly anything threatened about the consequences of masturbation, of doing this act. Well, I can tell you right now, with complete confidence, you can believe me, none, not one of those stories is true or accurate. They're all falsehoods. If masturbation would make you go crazy, then there'd be a lot more crazy people in the world than there are. I can promise you that. Still, the subject of masturbation is a very controversial one. Different people have different opinions about how God sees it. And I can't speak directly for God since His holy word, the Bible, is silent on this subject. But I can tell you what I believe, and then you can take it from there. I don't believe masturbation is much of an issue with God. It's a normal thing. It involves no one else. It does not cause disease. It does not produce babies. And Jesus did not even mention it in the Bible. Now, I'm not telling you to masturbate, certainly. And I hope that you won't even feel the need for it. But if you do, and if it happens, I don't think you should struggle with much guilt over it. Now, that's my opinion. Now, why do I tell you this? Because I deal with so many Christian young people who are torn apart with guilt over masturbation because they want to stop and they just can't. You will personally have to talk with God about this matter and decide what He wants you to do. So I'll leave it there between you and Him. But I can just tell you that I see a lot of people going through great difficulty because they feel they must stop masturbating. And yet the drive and the desire and the chemical need for it is so great that they haven't been able to control it. By the way, one other thing that bothers boys during adolescence is what they call wet dreams. Now, doctors call the same thing a nocturnal emission. And what it means is that some fluid comes out of a boy's penis occasionally at night. Now, this fluid is called semen, and it contains millions of tiny little cells which you can't even see. And each one of these cells could become a child if it was injected into a female at just the right time. But this fluid may come out during a sexy dream at night or sometime during the night it's triggered, and then the boy finds the stain on his pajamas the next morning, and he begins to worry about it and wonder what in the world's going on. Let me tell you that this is perfectly normal, that it happens to most boys, if not nearly all of them, and it's not anything to worry about. It's just your body's way of getting rid of the extra fluid that's there. Let me end this discussion by reading a paragraph or two from my book, Dare to Discipline, where I talk to your parents about the sexual development that you and I have been discussing here. And I was referring in my book to the anxiety and the fear that often comes with sexual awareness. Are you all tuned in to what I'm saying at this time? Most young people grow up frightened about sexual development. They worry about it. They wonder what it means. They think it's not developing properly. And they think they have a disease or some problem. And I listed some of the questions that are often raised by teenagers in their own minds during the early part of sexual development. Are all these changes supposed to be happening? Is there something wrong with me? Do I have a disease or an abnormality? Am I going to be different than other people? Does this pain in my breast mean I have cancer? Remember I mentioned the breast gets sore? Will I be sexually adequate? Will I be able to have intercourse, or will there be something wrong with me? Will the boys laugh at me? Will the girls reject me? See, it's very common for people to feel that they're not going to be attractive to the opposite sex and that nobody will want them because they are not physically what they should be. Will God punish me for the sexual thoughts that I have? I told you that you're likely to think about the opposite sex often during these years. And if that happens, you're liable to feel guilty about thinking about the opposite sex and feel that you've done something dirty. Wouldn't it be awful if I became a homosexual? A homosexual is someone who is not attracted to the opposite sex. They're attracted to the same sex. It's a boy's interest in boys or a girl's interest in girls. And this is an abnormal thing, and it doesn't happen very often. And it's not likely to happen to you. It's an unfortunate thing when it happens. But it usually happens for deep, deep emotional reasons, and it doesn't happen just automatically. It's not the kind of thing that's likely to happen in most of the people who are listening to this tape. And it's certainly nothing that you should worry about. Could I get pregnant without having sexual relations? This is another thing that young girls often fear, that they could find themselves pregnant even though they hadn't had sexual relations. The answer is no, that never happens. Never does it happen. It happened only one time in history, and that's when Mary, Jesus' mother, was a virgin. That meant that she had never had sexual intercourse, and yet Jesus was conceived or planted in her by God himself. That's the only time that a human being has ever been born without the father doing his part in providing the half of the cell that became the zygote, which I mentioned to you earlier. Do some people fail to mature sexually? No, they don't. Very, very seldom does that happen. Could I be one of those people? See, this is one of the common fears. Will my modesty be sacrificed? It's another common thing during these years for you to get very modest about your body because you know it's changing and you don't want anybody to see it. And you worry about being in a doctor's office and having your clothes taken off and people seeing your body as it's changing and so on. This is something that so many young people feel and fear. These kind of fears are almost universal during these early years that I've been talking about. In fact, I've stated there in the book that I'm reading from at this moment, or at least reading the questions from, that it's almost impossible to grow up in our culture without worrying and fretting and being anxious over sex. And that's why I've given this attention to the subject here on the tape. I want to help you avoid that. Don't worry about it. It's a normal thing that's being controlled inside your body, and it's going to all work out, and you can just relax and let it happen. You do have to control this desire, and that takes willpower, and it takes commitment And it takes a desire on your part to do what God wants you to do with it. If you control it properly, this can be a most fascinating and wonderful part of your lives that contributes to a successful marriage later on. We've been talking about puberty, which is the period of life when all these changes start to develop. If you are 10 or 11 years of age, these things are right around the corner for you. And I hope that when they come, you'll understand them better for having listened to this conversation on this tape.